Let me just say to you that I am thoroughly impressed. I knew there was something about Jasper First Baptist that I really liked, but it sounds like you guys have your hand in just about everything that is worthwhile and awesome, and I praise God for that. Thank you for supporting this young man and his ministry there and all that you're doing. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua. We're going to just do a few messages around the theme and the topic of memories and monuments. Memories and monuments. You know, there are times in your life, and we just came through the Christmas season, and there are just sometimes you remember things from your earlier years. Like I remember one Christmas, the Pearson kids got a moon buggy. I don't know if you've ever heard of a moon buggy, but basically it's a round wagon, and it could go in different directions. That thing caused more injuries, more wrecks, more damage to our physical body, but it was one of the greatest things that we ever received as a door. I remember that even to this day. I remember times, like I shared with you, the time that we set the landscape on fire at the end of our street. I remember those things. I remember going 60 miles an hour. I was a passenger. Pastor friend and I were heading to Camp Carson for a pastor's retreat, and we had taken the wrong turn. I had insisted to him that we had taken the wrong turn, but he said, "No, we're right on track." This is years ago, before cell phones, and so we were heading back to get on to 40 from Highway 81. And just right before we got to that point, there was a car in front of us that was swerving. It looked like it was almost like nobody was paying attention. Nobody was paying attention behind the wheel. All of a sudden, I see this car go off the side of the road, and it begins to hit the ditch, and it flips over 3.5 times, landing on the top of the car. You know, I've seen these in movies. I've seen accidents in movies, but I'm telling you, there's nothing like seeing an accident take place right in front of you. If you've done much driving, you probably have experienced a similar thing. But I never again want to experience that, by the way. So the guy that I was driving, he asked me a question. He said, "Should we stop?" Now, this is before cell phones or anything else. And I said, "Of course we should stop." And so we pulled off to the side of the road. I went to the back. I went back to that car, and by that time, the lady had, she was still alive, her husband was still alive. He was unconscious, but I was trying to get her out. So here's what we did. We unbuckled her. Now, she's dangling upside down. And so we unbuckled her, dropped her down to the headliner, which had come loose from the hood of the car, and we pulled her out. And then once we got her out, I still remember to this day, my friend who was the driver, a fellow pastor, he said, "I'm going to pray with her. You go in and get him." Now, at this time, the car is smoking. The car is absolutely, I'm thinking this thing could explode at any moment. And I still remember Don saying, "You go, I'm going to pray with her. You go get him." By that time, we had another car that had showed up, and a guy helped me to unbuckle him and to put him on the headliner and pull him out as well. I will never forget that experience as long as I live. The humorous things as well as the dangerous things. It's a monument in my life. It's a memory and a monument in my life that I will never forget. I remember it to this day. In the book of Joshua, we have several of these monuments and memories. And so I want to just start with showing you where we're going to go over the next couple of weeks, showing you where we're going to spend some time to look at some of these memories and these monuments. The first story that I'm going to share with you is the story of how they crossed the river there right before Jericho, as they crossed the Jordan River. And God had asked them to cross that river in preparation of defeating all of these cities that they were going to be taking as they went into the promised land. In verse 9 of chapter 4, verse 9, we see this first monument and this first memory that is built. And I'm going to share the story in length with you this morning, but I wanted to give you the phrase that I've noticed in Scripture, in this particular portion of Scripture. In verse 9, it says, "And then Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood." And listen to this phrase, "And they are there to this day." What God is pointing out here is this is a monument in the middle of the river, but it is a memory and a memorable point and a monument to this day. Now turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 25. You remember the story of Jericho. They were trying to get an inside look into the city of Jericho to see how they could defeat the city. And so God asked them, and Joshua, to go and send spies to the house of Rahab. And Rahab literally helped them, concealed them, and helped to spare their life. And here's what God did for Rahab. In verse 25 of chapter 6, it says, "And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwells in Israel," what is that next phrase? "To this day." So the monument here is not a group of stones, but it's a person whom God spared. Let's move on. In chapter 7, in verse 26, sometimes the monument is one out of anger. Sometimes it's out of sparing someone. Sometimes it's a group of stones that are built up to be a monument to the Lord. Look what it says in chapter 7 and verse 26. "And then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of this place shall be called the Valley of Achor." And it says, "to this day." Now look with me in chapter 8 and verse 29. In verse 29 it says, "And the king of Ai, as he hanged over the tree that evening, and soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the city, the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones." What's the next phrase? "That remains to this day." Here's my question this morning to all of us. Do you have some monuments in your life? Do you have some memories and some monuments in your life where God has revealed himself, where God has shown up, where God has made something happen in your life that is memorable? I remember a young man when I was in high school. I got saved when I was 17 years of age. And my best friend in high school was not a believer. And so as I was praying for my friends, just much like we've heard this morning, as I was praying for my friends and praying for those who were I was best friends with, one name kept coming to mind. His name was Don. He was hard. He was a crusty young man. I think it was because of his upbringing. He was a difficult case. And I kept on praying that God would save Don, that God would spare Don, that God would make himself known to Don. And Don was just not going to hear it. He would not hear anything that I would say. He would not know. He would not recognize that I was praying for him. He was not moved by any of that. And so he went on a ski retreat with us. I said, "There's going to be skiing and there's going to be girls." So he went. It's a common theme there. And so Don went. One of the nights, in fact, one of the last nights of that ski retreat and that resort that we went to and the event that we went to, one of the last nights, I saw Don walk the aisle and gave his life to Christ that night. I will never forget how God answered my prayer in seeing Don come to faith in Christ. There are monuments in our lives. There are memories in our lives. I want to share these stories over the next couple of weeks of how God has set up these memories and has set up these memorial stones. So with that in mind, I want you to look again with me in chapter 4. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. The first story that we're going to talk about is the story of how they crossed the Jordan River and how God asked them, and we're going to get into this in detail, how God asked them to collect stones and place them in the center of the river so that it would be a memory and it would be a monument to what God could do and what he did do. In verse 1 of chapter 4, and it says, "It came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourself 12 stones from out of here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm.'" I love the phrasing here, because this is in the middle of the river. What would you not anticipate that your feet would be in the middle of a river? Firm. We're going to get to that in just a moment. "You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And Joshua called the 12 men from whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, and one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder.'" Must have been pretty sizable stones. "According to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' And then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to all the children of Israel forever.' And the children of Israel did so as just as Joshua commanded, and took the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down." And then the verse that we read, verse 9. "Then Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day." I believe that these memories and these monuments point to times in our life where God obviously made a difference in our life, where God moved upon us. He moved in our lives. The story goes on. The story is preceded there in chapter 3. They were needing to cross the river. They were needing to make this step of faith. And so in chapter 3, in verses 14 and following, let me just read from there. Chapter 3, verse 14. "And so it was, when the people set out for the camps to cross over Jordan, when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water from the Jordan's overflowing banks." And the story goes on that the banks of the river were overflowing at that time. "During the time of harvest," verse 16, "that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, and rose up in a heap very far away, in fact, to the city of Adam." Adam was a city from that point where they were crossing over, around 18 to 20 miles away. The water backed up all the way to the city of Adam. "The city was beside Zarethan, and the waters went down into the sea of Arabah, and the sea salt failed and was cut off, and the people crossed over opposite of Jericho." Here's what I want us to recognize. These priests, when they stepped into the water, when they first stepped their foot into the water began to back up as they took that step of faith. Now, can you just imagine being the person who's carrying the Ark of the Covenant? Can you just imagine being that person, and Joshua and God have asked you to bear this Ark of the Covenant into the waters? Now, it's at flood stage. The water is moving. The water is traveling at an incredible rate because it's full. It's harvest time. It is at full capacity. It's overflowed its banks, in fact. And God and Joshua are asking you to step your foot into the water. Can you imagine being that person who makes that step of faith? And so here's my point. Maybe your monument, maybe your memory with God will be or has been a time where God has asked you to step out on faith and to do something even when it didn't make any sense, it wasn't logical, It didn't make sense to everybody around you. It didn't make sense to your friends, your family. But it was a point of faith where you stepped into the water and you took that step of faith. I believe that God gives us at those points and times in our lives when we are stepping out on faith, I believe God gives us those points of memories and those monuments. We know that the people crossed over here. We know that they gathered up those stones of remembrance. And we read the story how Joshua took those stones and he took them to the middle of the river. He took them to that place in the river and he set them up as a monument there in the middle of the river. And the Bible says, and it remains to this day. Now, when they crossed over into a city called Gilgal. This is what's amazing to me. They crossed over into a city. The Hebrew term Gilgal means, are you ready? Here's what it means. The translation of Gilgal is dry, dusty, whirlwind. That's the translation of Gilgal. Where did they cross over? They crossed over at Gilgal. As they were walking across this riverbed, planted firm, I believe they were walking not on muddy ground, not on ground that was damp. I believe they were walking on ground that was so dry that when the winds whipped in there, it caused a dry, dusty whirlwind. Much like I experienced when I was in seminary out in Fort Worth, in that dry, dusty place. I'm telling you, God allows us to experience things if we will take that step of faith, if we'll take that moment of faith and that step of faith, I believe God gives us those memories and those monuments for us to lean back to it and look back to year after year after year after year. I've shared this story with you when I was pastoring in Munster, Texas. It was my first pastorate. And I got a huge whopping salary of $12,000 a year. It was huge. And so we were living on that. We were having our first child, Bailey. He was born, and we had some medical bills that were due. And so it was about in the amount of about $300 is what it was. Well, we didn't have $300. And so I get a knock on the door. We're in the trailer that's right by the church that they had provided for us, a pastorium, and it's Kay and Jerry Bynum, and they're almost in tears. And he hands me an envelope, Jerry does, and he said, "This is my golf cart money. I was going to buy a golf cart, but God wants me to give this to you." After they left, we were all in tears that day. I went back, opened up that envelope. It was $315. So I told Glenn, I said, "We're not only going to pay that bill, but we're going to go to McDonald's and get us a Happy Meal." I will never forget, because in my mind, I was thinking, I'm either going to have to tithe, I'm going to have to give to my church, I'm going to have to tithe, or I'm going to have to pay this medical bill. I can't do both. And God just reminded me that day and days following that, this became a monument to me. Number one, that you can't outgive God. And if you'll stay faithful to Him, He will bless the giver. That was the monument for them. They took those stones and they placed them in the middle of the river. My question this morning to you is, what's your story? What's your story? What monument have you built? What monument has been built in your life? What memory has been set in your life? What memory has been set in stone, if you will, in your life that you can go back to over and over and over again? It may be because God allowed you and you stepped out on faith, and because you stepped out on faith, God built a monument there. He built a memory there that you will never forget, because you saw that day and you continue to see that day from that point on. Would you pray with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder today, for those of you who are believers, for those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder today, do you have a monument? Do you have a memory that's etched in your mind and in your life? I wonder today, are there some folks here today, perhaps there's never been a time in your life when you've trusted in Christ, so today may be that monument day when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Where are the memories in your life? Where are the God-honoring, God-called moments and memories of your life? Where God answered and you set up stones of memory. I'm going to ask that the Spirit of God just prompt all of us to etch in our minds and in our hearts those moments. But my dear friend, if that's not there, it may be that you're not really pushing to your faith, pushing to the level of your faith. You're not stepping out on faith to accomplish what God has already set in your heart to do. Monuments and memories. What has God done in your life? Father God, we ask that you would just move upon us as your people. Lord, with as many people here who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm certain that there are stories after stories after stories of how you spared a life, how you changed a life, how you transformed a life, how you made yourself clear and you revealed yourself in wonderful ways. Lord, how you showed your word to be truthful, how you showed your word to be honorable and truthful in each of our lives. Father, I pray that today, if there's one here who has never trusted in Christ, whether they be a senior adult or maybe a teenager or perhaps a child, that even today, Lord, that they would come to faith in Christ, knowing that you are a God who makes memories. You are a God of the monuments in our life. We give you praise, thanking you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing the hymn of decision. I'm going to invite you to come. Pastor Greg is standing here to receive. If there's a decision that you need to make, we encourage you to do that. Or if you just simply want to come to the altar and pray, the altar is open. As we stand together and as we sing, you come.